Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which share stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your higher self. I am delighted today to welcome Mary Mueller Schuton, author of The Spiritual Awakening Guide, and who is an acupuncturist, herbalist, craniosacral therapist, and spiritual healer who helps others navigate their spiritual awakening process and enhance their intuitive development. Hello, Mary, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Mary, as listeners of this show have come to know, well know, my guests and I seek to explore our inner world and our connection to universal energy, evolution, and the divine healing energies that exist within and all around us, and to learn more about the energetic and physical components of our lives for understanding personal development and the way to an improved human condition, which you and I just spoke about before the show, which is very much needed now in the world, both in the physical and spiritual realms of reality. Mary, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood and to try to remember a dream or event or person that may have contributed to an awareness of certain interests or abilities that are now reflected in your adult lifestyle and interests and work. So take a minute to think back, because I think we come in with a life plan and our inner being already is quite aware of what is important to us.
Yeah, and so as I talk a little bit about in the book, but most of the focus of the book is in fact not on me, but when I was growing up, I always had a very keen sense of being different than other people, meaning that I didn't see things like other people did. I learned a bit differently. And so in high school, this was obviously a bit difficult for me. And so there ended up being all sorts of meetings and that sort of stuff. But one of my teachers, who was a creative writing teacher, his name was Mr. White, but he allowed for me to basically do an independent study with him. And so I got to talk with him about short stories and novels and write things for him. And so that was really the first time that I really felt really commended kind of outside of my family structure for being unique, and especially having a unique voice that could be expressed through writing. So that's what kind of pops up for me.
Mm-hmm. My childhood was similar. I was in the gifted class, and I graduated a year and a half of other students. And I always observed people and wasn't quite sure why they were missing the mark, so to put it. I mean, I think we maybe had an older soul and an awareness of compassion and great love and cooperation, and we were seeing the world perhaps in its more competitive way, and that's why we learned to express ourselves through writing and through healing modalities in order to find the truth about who we are and what are really the important parts of life for us to focus on. So thank you for saying that. You say we are all part of the overwhelming and joyous experience of the flow of divine unfolding. Can you tell us what you mean by that statement?
So that statement generally means that we are all, in small or large ways, on this planet, in this world, in our human bodies, in order to spiritually awaken. So some of us take rather small steps in the course of our lifetime, and some of us take rather large leaps over the course of a lifetime. But this statement really means that all of us at our core are home, we're divine, we are who we fully are. We just have all of these beliefs and understandings that either we've given ourselves or that have been given to us that kind of stop us from believing that or understanding that. So that's in fact why it's considered a spiritual awakening process, in which we kind of let go of all of those things that are stopping us from really realizing that we are divine and we are in this kind of slow, we are all one sort of understanding.
Well, we are spiritual beings having a physical life. In other words, the energy component of our life force actually helps to create the physical reality that we live with. And many people are so focused on their physical world that they're not aware of this inner world of potential for this divine processing and understanding who
yeah.
we are, and creating more greatly a world of love and beauty and kindness. And you say an awakening begins, and it's the start of an inner calling, a chance to do something great to contribute to humanity. It is a signal to become a teacher, leader, healer, a force of compassion and wisdom in the world. And it is a call to service. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who's had one of these or is talking about a spiritual awakening is so grateful to have had the opportunity to realize that we are so much more than we appear to be. And you go on to tell about three different states. Can you tell us something about the sleep state, the somewhat awakened state, and for those who are fully awakened?
Sure. So I kind of define these states in categories, and really the whole spiritual journey I talk about, but in the book. But the sleeper state is basically a state where we go about the same routines over and over again. We go through the same patterns again and again. You know, we watch the same television shows again and again, and we don't really have that conscious awareness of something greater than ourselves, and we don't have that questioning capability of really understanding much outside of ourselves and our own experience of this world. And so that really kind of encapsulates what the sleeper state is. And the semi-awakened state, which some kind of sleepers can grow into, is going through the process of awakening, of healing ourselves, of all the traumas that we've had, of, you know, going through and realizing, hey, we need to heal more than ourselves. We also have, you know, family stuff going on. We have ancestral stuff going on. And all of the layers that I kind of talk about in the book, Awakening 2, such as, you know, oh, wow, there are world energies out there that kind of give me beliefs or understandings of who I am. So the semi-awakened state is, you know, kind of in between the sleeper and the awake state. And so in terms of the awake state, what I would say is that it's conscious realization and understanding of that flow that we talked about. So you talked a bit about how we are spiritual beings in a physical body, and that is so much true. And so people tend to be in one camp or the other. They'll think that everything,
yes.
you know, everything is focused on the physical body and the kind of material existence, or they'll totally kind of disassociate and think that the spiritual is somewhere else and outside of the physical body and our physical lives. And awakening is really a conscious realization of who we are at our core, as well as kind of a realization that we can express that through our physical bodies and our physical lives.
And you also say, and I agree with you here, that a truly awakened teacher will teach the student to follow his own path in his own time and his own way, because there's really no right or wrong. We're all spiritual beings, and we are all seeking knowledge, more knowledge about who we are, where we come from, and how to really live our best life. And you know, in my book, The Living Spirit, I express this thought in this way. I express the joy of knowing and awakening to your own divinity and personal power to manifest a healthy and joyful life by being in alignment to universal energy. And I wrote this, In my work, to assist my clients to realize they have ultimate control over their life decisions, well, not necessarily over the circumstances that occur. In the moment of awareness, they achieve a sense of completeness and oneness with spirit that is beyond anything they have felt before. The question is, how do we arrive at this wonderful moment of awareness? How might you begin to let go of the bits and pieces of beliefs imposed on you during your childhood, which in adulthood limit your ability to find fulfillment? By realizing our childhood beliefs and behaviors no longer work for us, we can choose to take responsibility for making positive improvements in thoughts and actions and move past the bits and pieces imposed on us in childhood. So we're saying pretty much the same thing, that an awakening allows people to realize what they absorbed in childhood was necessary because there's nothing wrong. We have a life plan and everything is happening according to the way it must. We come into this life at a certain time and we leave this life at a certain time. And if we can conquer the fear of this, thinking we're in control of everything in our life, we can actually learn to laugh and giggle and be joyful even in the most difficult times because we accept it. And this is a very hard thing for, I would say, 80% of the population to do because they're still holding on to their belief systems and their fears. And it takes effort and consistency and patience and dedication to move past those early childhood programs. So that's what we're trying to get people to be aware. And awakening takes a lot of effort. So how
It
might,
does, definitely.
So how might you define the collective whole and how this is an important awareness of an awakened state?
So, through the awakening process, generally when we begin, our healing is about ourselves, meaning it's about our own past, our own experiences in this world, and gradually we start to kind of expand, meaning that we'll not only kind of go through our own history, but we'll realize and start to awaken to, okay, what happened in our families and start to process or heal that. What happened in our ancestry? What might have happened in our past incarnations? What might have happened karmically? And so we go through these stages of awakening, and at a certain point, there's a bit of a pivot, meaning that we start to not only realize that we're kind of not the most important person out there, which a lot of people get so stuck in being the protagonist of their own story, I kind of call it, that they're not able to see or reconcile that it's okay if other people have different thoughts or different beliefs than them. But we start going to more kind of an expanded state, going into, okay, how do societal energies impact us? How do world energies impact us? And actually process them through our physical bodies. So the awakening state is really going through these expanded sort of layers that I talk about in the Spiritual Awakening Guide until we realize that, we are one. But we are also kind of, we're also separate, we're individuated as well. So, this sort of contrast is difficult for people to believe until they experience it, that we could be one and singular at the same time, but it's generally what happens in that sort of state.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have trouble with understanding the oneness and the unification and the energy that we all come from the same energy and we return to the same energy. But they overlook the fact that each soul is unique and needed on this planet at this time and has a special function. And as we interact with each other, we uplift, we teach, we share, we learn, we cry, we have all these different emotions. And I think that's why a soul chooses a physical life, to come and experience that in a physical body. Now, you were just starting to tell us something of the 12 layers that cover an awakened state, and you did a wonderful job in the book. You began with the 12th layer and worked backwards, and you compared it to those Russian nesting dolls, which I liked very much because I could see them just one moving out and then exposing another one and another one, because they're all us. All these different aspects of us are necessary to understand for us to really truly know ourselves. So you began with the 12th layer, which is that of the self, and then went on to past lives and family systems, ancestral patterns, societal and collective conditioning, and karmic patterns, and world, global, and cosmic patterns. And in each of them, you give so much wonderful information about how we can learn to dispel some of the falsehood about what is making us behave, what is making us long for something, what is making suffering in the world. Because once you understand these layers and you work through them, you're actually achieving freedom. And tell us about one of the layers so our listeners can get an idea of, what a layer really is.
Yeah, and so first I will say is that my focus of the book was really to be non-dogmatic, meaning that, as you said, it's really important. The spiritual awakening process is one of direct experience, meaning that we have to have these experiences and understandings ourselves. We can't be told them. And so the focus of the book is really giving people the tools that they need to individually work through these layers if they may be stuck or just understand where they are. But in terms of layers, I've talked a lot recently. One of kind of the outer layers is the layer of archetypes. And so in terms of archetypal energies, we all have these sort of archetypes, and this layer is kind of a layer of story, meaning how we mentally assimilate things, how we think about things. And so this layer of archetypes are all kind of symbols and well, I mean, archetypes that we're used to, so things like, the guru, the diva, the stay-at-home mother. So we have these assigned kind of roles and understandings that are associated with these specific archetypes that we can name. And this allows for us to easily and readily process the people around us. We might look at somebody and be like, oh yeah, they're the guru archetype. And we might look at another person and be like, oh yeah, they're the diva, or they're the explorer, or something like that. And so it makes us easier on our minds to process. But when we awaken to the archetype level, we'll start to question our own archetypes that we've been given. Oh, I'm a student, and that means that I'm assigned this particular behavior, and be able to keep the aspects of that archetype that we really like, those behaviors or characteristics, and let go of the confining things.
So it's very good to recognize these labels or patterns of conditioning so that we can understand the people around us and better understand ourself. So even though they are labels, we don't have to stay restricted in one type of pattern or another. We are free to move from different archetype to another and to function that way to further fulfill our destiny, our plan in life, which is to have greater love and joy and compassion. And we need to understand people so we lose this judgment and anger and fear and other negative emotions. And understanding this really helps you do that, move out of it. And you can see things more quickly, and you can either choose to be involved with a certain pattern or not, or disengage. But understanding the archetypes are definitely very, very important. So let's go on to what is our personal and our collective shadow? Because many people see something that's negative and say, oh, that's dark, and that they're acting in an evil way. And really, we all have that within us. So how do we explain to our listeners what exactly this is?
Yeah, so the easiest way to describe the personal shadow is just it's kind of on our unconscious material. So when we awaken, we become more and more conscious of our patterns of, you know, kind of the loops that we all go through unconsciously, our unconscious beliefs that we may believe to be true of ourselves. And so the personal shadow, it can be looked at in a few different ways, but in general, my understanding of it and the way that I've worked with it is not that it's a negative thing. It's just things that we're either unconscious about or things that we don't want to look at, or maybe we're, you know, going through a state of spiritual bypass where we, you know, want to go on to the next state without working through one, working through the one that we're at. So it's just really a term for our unconscious sort of behavior, stuff that we haven't looked at yet.
It's sort of our fears and the darker seat of the soul, so to say, and it involves emotion. So when we learn to process this, we can move past any of these negative or fearful emotions, and that is a way of evolving and awakening. And collectively, I believe our shadows as well as our conscious selves create the world we're living in, the violence or wars or racism or sexism or classism or rules for appropriate unspoken conduct, which we're seeing a lot of in the world right now. So collectively, I would say the world is going through a very big spiritual shift, and a lot of stuff is happening to give us the opportunity to become whole or to share more holistic views and behaviors. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say in terms of, you know, it is very clear that for the past couple of months that we certainly have been going through a shift. And in terms of, if we're going to talk about the collective shadow, all of our individual shadows kind of meet together to form this collective shadow. So it would be essentially what you just stated, but also just kind of, you know, if we personally take care of our own business, our own emotions, our own fears, our own hidden kind of, you know, violence, racism, whatever is going on, if we work through that, that means that aspect is not going out into the world, into the collective, meaning that we as individuals can have a very real and very significant impact on the collective shadow as well as how the world is doing as a whole. Because I know a lot of people are like, what do I do about the state of the world? And it's like, you know, you of course can volunteer and, you know, do very physical things that I would suggest to be of service to the world, but
yes,
also taking care of your own stuff, basically, is really important.
Absolutely. Be an example and shine your life and carry your peace, and that will filter out and it will help those who are in such distress. And I think we all are right now. I think we all are very unhappy with what we're seeing, but we can affect it by starting to see that this too will pass, and we have an opportunity to change personally and collectively, and I believe that's what's going to happen. Now, Mary, you tell us the journey to awakening is a long process, and ultimately surrendering, while difficult, leads to feel the beautiful oneness and to remain at peace and stillness. And that's what we want to share with our listeners today when there has been so much trauma worldwide lately, and terrorism, fear,
yeah,
unpleasant happenings. And you wrote something very lovely. You wrote, "To fill our cup is a choice. In the Bible, there are many references to the empty cup. To be filled, it must first be emptied, completely emptied. This is what happens in the previous stages. Total surrender is different for every person. Emptying this cup requires tests and limitations to ensure we are ready. Testing of our faith, of our emotions, relationships, belongings. For many, this is quite literal. We leave our families, let go of our belongings, move or lose jobs. For some, it is a choice to let go. For others, bankruptcy, sudden loss of income, near-death experiences, foreclosures, and other experiences have forced us to surrender. The tests are difficult in that moment of surrender, but we can realize this is a test of faith, of surrender, or we can struggle to maintain who we thought we were. And that's where we are in the world right now. We can choose to let go and accept something different, or choose to remain the way we are, which is not working very well right now.
No, it definitely isn't. And I would say that, I mean, even to somebody that is, I guess I would call them in the sleeper category, is, you know, it's pretty obvious at this point to everyone that we are collectively looping. We're having the same incidents, the same experiences happen over and over again.
Yes.
It's just a question of when that loop is going to break, and how many times, unfortunately, that it needs to come to pass until it does. So not only personally do we carry on these kind of loops, but as a society, as a culture, as a world, we kind of loop in these behaviors, really in order to bring attention to them and to heal them. The difficulty is, again, if we're not paying attention to them, if we're not taking steps to heal them, they're just going to kind of cycle around again. So it's really our choice, as well as the world's choice. Do we want to continue cycling in this loop, or is there another way?
Well, I hope the loop is opening and we will all find an expansion and evolve into something much more beautiful. I want to thank you, Mary Mueller-Schutan, author of The Spiritual Awakening Guide, for a most detailed, excellent description of the 12 layers of personal transformation that each seeker experiences as they move through the stages of a true awakening to the divinity, oneness, and unity that lies within each of us. For more information and to purchase this book, go to marymueller-schutan.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Mary has shared the joy and tribulations that go along with a deep introspective look at our duality as spiritual and physical beings, and has expressed that there may be challenges physically and emotionally and many changes to our life when we embrace this path to self-investigation and clear away the restrictions and blockages of this and past lifetimes, those of our ancestors and the societal and global structures that are always in the process of changing and which encourage us to adapt and release outdated thoughts so new awareness and possibilities for creative self-expression and the manifestation of our soul life needs can be addressed from within. Mary, in a practical way, shares how we are meant to live in the world as awakened individuals within our human bodies. By addressing post-awakening states, oneness, dark nights of the soul, ego death, near death, psychic abilities, and more, we understand the experiences we may go through while struggling with spiritual awakenings, ultimately benefiting from our sincere efforts to evolve. Mary and I would have you discover your personal power for accepting change, as change is the key to finally awakening and being free, fearless, and courageous, brave, and the possibilities when you access these energies is limitless. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen and read about the many ways to open your channels to greater understanding of the human and divine possibilities for creating your most healthy and positive life. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.